Last Sunday evening, we started a study based on Proverbs, actually, chapter 15, verse 6, where the Lord said, "In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble," as he's making a distinction there between two different kinds of treasure. We know in the scriptures that he refers to that good treasure that is in store for the righteous and available to the righteous is what he calls that hidden treasure. Of course, it is hidden from those who are wicked, those who are not seeking God. But it is that eternal treasure, not the treasures of this earth. And last week we spent a good portion of that time of study looking at scriptures on that particular point that makes a contrast between the two kinds of treasures, showing that this hidden treasure that is available to the righteous is not speaking about the material treasures of this world. Rather, it is a spiritual and eternal treasure that we are to be seeking after as we are seeking our God. Tonight we want to go further with that study. And as we begin or continue that, we want to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, a passage that does speak about this treasure, but here he speaks about it in terms of the mystery that has been revealed through Jesus Christ, that is the New Testament or the Gospel of Christ. We are privileged and blessed very much to be living in the New Testament age under the reign of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, that we have available to us the teachings of the new and everlasting covenant of Christ, that we can know these things that he has revealed now through his Son that were unavailable to the world, that were hidden, all those things of the New Testament that were hidden from the foundation of the world until Christ came to reveal those things. And so this is a big part of the hidden treasure that we are to be seeking after. It pertains to the mystery that is the New Testament, the gospel that was revealed through Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 through 14. It starts there in referring to this mystery as what Paul was preaching, as opposed to the wisdom of men. He says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." This mystery that has been revealed, which is the New Testament, this is contrasted here, as it's described as that hidden wisdom that has now been revealed, is contrasted with the wisdom of men. So we might think of the treasures of this earth maybe in terms of material possessions, which certainly that is included, as we saw in our study as we started this last week. But what about the teachings that are available in the world? Those things that man teaches. Well, that's part of it, and those are that wisdom of men he mentions there is something which comes to nothing. What God has revealed and made available to us through Christ is not the wisdom of this world, the wisdom of men that will come to nothing. Now, in these verses that we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we can see what or where the wisdom of men will take or where it won't take men or provide for them. Can we know God, or can anyone know God, know Him, know His nature, understand Him, understand His will, and be able to walk before Him and please Him in this life and fulfill God's purpose by the wisdom of men? That's impossible, as he mentions there. What does he say about the natural man? He doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. He says it's foolishness unto him. These things that are of the wisdom of men, as he also says in chapter 1, the wisdom, the world by wisdom knew not God, in verse 21 of chapter 1. So the world does not know and understand God, and cannot understand His will, this hidden treasure. This is a treasure that is hidden from the world and from man by his own wisdom. And where we started in verse 4, Paul was declaring that being a major reason why he was not preaching the enticing words of man's wisdom. What kind of faith would that build in them if he was teaching the wisdom of men? That would be faith in the wisdom of men. And he said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. But he wanted their faith to be in the power of God. And so they were not. He was not speaking the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, he says, that come to nothing. But he was speaking the wisdom of God in a mystery, this hidden wisdom that God has made available now to us, as he says there. And then he quotes from Isaiah chapter 64, in verse 4, as it is written, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." Again, God has prepared this for those who love him. And what does it mean to love God, or how do we discern if we do love God? Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So we have to have a will to do God's will and seek after him to know and do his commandments. And if we are seeking God, and that's seeking him properly, then we have the opportunity to know this hidden wisdom. It was hidden from all until the New Testament time when Christ came. But isn't that wisdom still hidden? And isn't this treasure still hidden from the world today as man is seeking by his own wisdom to know or to say what is right for him in this life? It's still hidden from the world. The world cannot know God by the wisdom of men. But we can know this wisdom. That quotation from Isaiah, by the way, I've heard that quote many times applied to what's in store for Christians in the hereafter, the things that God has prepared for us in the as far as the glory of heaven. Well, of course, there are many things there that we don't know about and would not be able to comprehend fully. But is that really the subject of this particular passage or the context of the quotation here from Isaiah? No, he's not talking about something from our vantage point that is yet to come, that is hidden from us now, that will be revealed in the hereafter. He's talking about something that was hidden at the time when Isaiah was inspired by God to speak those words. But he says now these things have been revealed to us by his Spirit in verse 10. So is this something that is still unavailable to us? Or is he speaking here about that hidden wisdom, that hidden treasure that is part of the mystery, as he put it, that has been revealed now, that we can know as far as the will of God? And that's why he says we're speaking not the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We can and should and must know these things now. This is a treasure that is hidden from the world, but it is available to us to know by Jesus Christ. So from that standpoint, we don't have an excuse not to know it. If we don't know it, it is because we are not seeking for that treasure or not seeking properly. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this subject comes up again in this second letter to the Corinthians. inspired again through the Apostle Paul, but let's read verses 1 through 7. He says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Well, here was a treasure that God was using these earthen vessels, these men, to reveal. That is, he was inspiring them with the words as the gospel was now being preached to men. And Paul was, of course, one of the chief ones in that work that God had given him to do. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, as we read, the emphasis there was on Paul's refusal to preach and teach the enticing words of man's wisdom. He would only teach God's word. Now, speaking about God's word that he was preaching, there's more than one way that that can be preached or handled. And here he's very clear in not only was he strictly avoiding teaching and preaching the wisdom of men, but how did Paul handle God's word and the gospel as he was preaching it? Or how was he not, as he approaches it there in those first two verses? Well, he says he had renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, was not walking in craftiness. He was not handling the word of God deceitfully. But that truth was being revealed there through them. But so if the gospel was hid, was it because Paul was intentionally hiding or refusing to preach a part of what God had sent him to preach? There was a sequence to things. And we saw you can see in 1 Corinthians in chapter 3 when he refers to them as spiritual babes, and they were being given the milk of the word at that time. So there is a sequence to it. You give the milk first and then you build to the meat. But through Paul's work, as he taught and he started with the right things and progressed as they were growing, did he hold back any things that were profitable to Christians in his preaching? No, that's something that he states very clearly in Acts chapter 20, that he didn't hold back anything that was profitable. He says, "For I shun not to declare unto you the whole counsel of God." So that whole counsel of God was revealed. And so if the gospel were hid, it wasn't because Paul was hiding it or Paul was refusing to preach and teach what God intended to reveal through him to Christians. So if it's hidden, who was it hidden from? And that is still the case today. As this treasure of the mystery of Christ is still hidden, who is it hidden from? That answers in verses 3 and 4. It is hid to them that are lost. Now, does that mean the lost can't know it? No, they can. Well, were we ever lost? And did we come to know it? Yes, but how does that happen? Well, we have to escape that blindness that he refers to, that spiritual blindness that he speaks of in verse 4. The minds are blinded by the God of this world, and that's very close to the phrase or the term that Jesus used in the Gospel of John concerning Satan, that he referred to as the prince of this world a number of times. But he says he has blinded the minds of them which believe not. So if we refuse to listen and we refuse to believe what we do hear from God, if we reject it, then are we going to come to understand this mystery? And is this treasure going to be known by us, or is it going to remain hidden from us? So everybody has the opportunity to hear, but then it becomes our responsibility to be willing to glorify God as God, to listen to his truth, and then to obey it and not to disbelieve and disobey it or refuse to obey it. If we reject it, then we are going to have this hidden from us. So we have a responsibility to seek so that we can know what God has revealed. Romans chapter 16, if we turn there and read verses 25 and 26. He says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." So it had been hidden since the world began, as he put it in verse 25. But this mystery, which was not available to be known or understood from the foundation of the world until Christ came, is that still the case? Is it still being hidden from the world? Or does he say that this has been revealed and it has been made known to all nations and for the purpose of for the obedience of faith? And personally, I love the fact that the book of Romans closes exactly on the note that it begins, because in Romans chapter 1, he starts the book by, as he's preaching to them and introduces the book to them, he lets them know that in verse 5 of Romans 1, that they had received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. So Romans begins on the note that this, what is being revealed and taught in that book, and of course it applies to the entirety of the New Testament, the gospel of Christ, as chapter 1, verse 16. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to all them that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. As he then says, by that gospel or in that gospel is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith. So Romans 1 begins with that. The gospel is being declared. It is being preached. And he says it is for the world to believe on him, but that belief carried through to obedience. We had a lesson on that this morning, didn't we? But that's the very phrases that he uses in chapter 1. Well, how does he end the book of Romans? Closing out on the same note about this mystery that has been revealed to all nations for the obedience of faith. Isn't it sad that a book that literally begins and ends with an emphasis on hearing the gospel of Christ, believing it, and obeying it, that this book is twisted by so many people to say that it doesn't teach obedience and that obedience is not necessary? That is a horrible twisting of the scriptures that God has revealed. When we look at the context of Romans, literally from beginning to end and throughout the middle, it is all about our hearing God's word, our having faith in it, and then obeying his commandments. And we see that as part of the mystery. That is the mystery that's been revealed to all nations. But is it all nations regardless of whether they are willing to believe and obey? Or is it to all nations with that condition that has to be met, that we do receive those teachings, that we believe them, and that we are willing to be obedient to the faith? Well, we do have to have that faith, and that has to be demonstrated by obedience. Otherwise, if we're rejecting it, it's going to remain hidden from us, as we just saw a moment ago in 2 Corinthians 4. Well, Colossians chapter 1 is one a passage that ties all of that together very well. If we look at verses 21 to 29, Colossians chapter 1, 21 to 29. It says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." So he qualifies it there. Yes, as we saw in 1 and 2 Corinthians and in the book of Romans, this mystery is available to all men. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, as we know Titus 2 verse 11 says. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that is for the world. Whosoever will may come, as he also tells us in the book of Revelation. We have scripture after scripture that lets us know that God is desiring for all men to be saved, and he has made that salvation available to everybody. However, not everyone is going to be saved because we have to do our part. We have to be willing to seek God. We have to be willing to glorify Him as God, to believe His word, and to obey Him. Well, here we see that phrased in that sense when he says, it has been made, this mystery has been made manifest to His saints, to His holy ones. The world is not going to know it. That gospel is going to remain hidden from them because they're not seeking God. So this is that hidden treasure in the mystery of God that we have the opportunity to have revealed to us, to know so that we can follow. And he goes further in these last three verses to let us know where that is to take us. He says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Now, is God going to force Christ to be formed in us in spite of our desire not to have him formed in us? That's not going to happen. We have to be seeking for that. And that's what his saints, his holy ones, will be doing. But that's the purpose of this mystery that's being revealed, this hidden treasure. The entire purpose of it is for it, that hidden treasure, to be formed in our hearts so that we are complete like Christ, that he is in us. Now, in the same first chapter of the book of Colossians, in verses 9 through 11, he breaks this down further into that wisdom and knowledge and understanding, spiritual wisdom and knowledge and understanding that is available to us in the gospel of Christ, that is in this mystery. Colossians 1, 9 through 11 says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. So this was Paul's prayer for his brethren there. But we see that God's purpose and desire for all of us is that we would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And what will that lead to? If we have all wisdom and spiritual understanding by the knowledge of his will, so there is knowledge and wisdom and understanding in us to a full extent, what are we going to be able to do with a full knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that is of the spiritual variety? Clearly, he's not speaking about knowledge of, I mean, there's a vast array of knowledge out there that we might pursue after and for various subjects or things that might pertain to our vocation or whatever is there. But and even if you don't want to know it, at least while you're in school, you're forced. But at any rate, that's not the knowledge that he's talking about there. And he's not talking about, again, the wisdom of this world or anything that pertains to this life. He's talking about what pertains to this life in the sense of life and godliness, how to please our God, what is in the spiritual realm. And that's why he qualifies that and says all wisdom and spiritual understanding. But what are we able to accomplish if we are filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding? He says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. How well and how much can we please our God by having being filled with all of his the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding? We can walk worthy of him to all pleasing. I mean, that makes sense. How much are we going to be able to please God with a partial knowledge of his will and a certain amount, but not a full amount, of wisdom and spiritual understanding? Well, we may be able to walk worthy of him unto some pleasing, but do we want to please God a little bit? Do we want to please God a lot? Or do we want to please him all in all things that we do? Well, our heart should have the desire and our mind should have the desire to please him in everything, which means we need to seek after his knowledge and wisdom and spiritual understanding to be filled with it and to have all of that. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, he does again mention that and ties together this knowing what he has taught and then being able to grow spiritually to have Christ formed in us. 1 John 2, 5 says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Now, that one verse right there ties together several of the points that we were looking in those several verses of Colossians chapter 1. That spiritual understanding and knowledge and wisdom and being able to walk worthy of the Lord into all pleasing, having Christ in us, the hope of glory, and being able to be made complete in Him. Well, all that's brought out here in 1 John 2:5. If we keep His Word, God's love is going to be perfected or completed in us. But again, we understand that based on these other teachings, we've got to not just keep part of that word to have His love completed in us, but we need to know all of it and keep all of it so we can walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. But that process will enable us to grow in Christ to where we can please Him that much and fulfill His purpose and have His love formed in us to completion. Proverbs chapter 2 in the Old Testament, he reminds us of where knowledge and wisdom and understanding comes from, where the source is, and how much we need to be seeking in order for us to find that. Proverbs 2:1-6 says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." But again, does everybody have that? No, we have conditions to meet. There's a number of times there in those verses we just read that He uses the word if. If we do what He says to do about that in the way that we seek, it is hidden treasure. This is that spiritual treasure. How valuable is it compared to anything in this world? I mean, there's no comparison. That's something else He says over and over again in the book of Proverbs. But we see there that the emphasis is on how much we have to seek, like we're seeking for a hidden treasure. Now, we could understand that and how people would seek after some hidden material treasure if they suddenly found out that could be found somewhere. Just take the average person in this world, if somehow you were able to let them know and inform them truthfully that there was some hidden treasure, whatever kind of money, jewels, or whatever of great value in this world that was hidden somewhere, and you provided them with the information of where to get it, are they just going to tell you, "Oh, well, that's nice to know, thanks," and then go about their business? What are they going to do? I mean, if people would go, they're going to stop everything. Literally, they would drop everything and go after that with all their might immediately. Well, how should our response be to what's available to us in God's Word, where we can know God's will, where we can have spiritual wisdom and understanding so that we can walk worthy of Him and please Him in all things? Should we be casual about that? Should that be something that motivates us a little bit, or that we dabble in somewhat and spend a little bit of our time on? Or should that be something that encompasses us, that is our life that we're seeking after, with the same diligence and effort that those that love this world would be seeking after a material treasure? Well, He says this is the way we have to seek after it. And if we do, and then He says if we're lifting up our voice for it to God, because He's the source, then He says He will give that. And so that's what is available to us as far as this hidden treasure is concerned. Chapter 8 of Proverbs verse 1 says, "Does not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice?" Well, that's how the chapter starts. This is the voice of God's wisdom and knowledge and understanding there. And then when we go down to verse 10, is that voice is still crying out from God's wisdom and understanding. It says, "Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mind and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. So again, we see the value that is there, not even to be compared with anything that is of this world. But this hidden treasure, this spiritual treasure, is from God, and we can know it if we will seek after it and seek after God like he is teaching us to right here. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus, in a parable, uses very similar language as far as how we should be seeking after the kingdom of God. Remember Matthew 6:33 that says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." We should be seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness. Well, let's look at Matthew 13:34-36. He says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." What's the teaching of the parable? How should we be seeking, and with what kind of effort and diligence should we be seeking after God's kingdom and righteousness? I mean, we should be willing to put everything, to sell everything, and devote ourselves fully and exclusively to obtaining this treasure, this hidden treasure that is available through Christ from God. In Colossians chapter 2, we have a warning, though. Colossians 2, starting at verse 1, he says, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all treasures of wisdom and knowledge." These treasures are there, and they are hidden where? In the Father and in Jesus Christ. And in verse 4 he says, "This I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." There again we see some similar statements and teachings to what we saw a while ago in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 2 Corinthians chapter 4 regarding the wisdom of this world, the wisdom of men, and how we are to beware of that. Well, Paul said he refused to teach it, but on the other side, we should refuse to listen to it if there is somebody who is willing to teach it, and there are lots that are willing, because that's the devil's work to give us that wisdom of men, to try to get us to listen to that instead of seeking after this hidden treasure, the Word of God and his wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And what does he tell us regarding the wisdom of this world, and how does he warn us here? He says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Verse 4, he says, "This I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." Written to Christians who were in what state as far as how they were following Christ. We already got to see a bit of it in chapter 1, but he's very plain with it here in verse 5 of chapter 2 when he says he was beholding their order and the steadfastness of their faith in Christ. Were these Christians who were on the wrong path, or were they walking like they should and seeking after God? These were ones who were doing well at this point in time. They were being encouraged to continue on that. Well, what would be the threat to have them not to continue? Well, again, that wisdom of men and those enticing words of man's wisdom, which would beguile them and us. The same threat is available to us, and the devil's going to bring it to us. And if we start listening to what is being taught in this world and we're not listening to what God says in his word, we're going to be led astray. We need to be listening to the Lord's Word. It wasn't too long ago we had a study about the voice of the shepherd, and this really ties into what we were studying then also. We need to listen to his voice. Again, John 10:1-5. His sheep are not going to know the voice of a stranger. We're going to know his voice and listen to it. Otherwise, we're going to be led astray. And how much temptation is there to listen to? And it can come in the form of books. It can come in the form of every other form of media, or actually being physically present to listen to it. But there's so many opportunities the devil's going to give to us to listen to him through the wisdom of men in this world. We have to resist all of that. Not listen to what people have to say, but rather listen only and exclusively to what God has to say. That's the hidden treasure, and that's the treasure that is available to us through Christ if we will seek after it and not seek after any other. We have to forsake a love of this world, whether it's because we cannot serve God in material things, as we've already seen. We also cannot seek after God by listening to his word and also listening to the wisdom of men. We have to make the choice that we're going to be seeking after this hidden treasure here that God has made available to us and will bless us with if we are seeking him properly. Tonight is an opportunity for anyone that is here that is not yet a Christian for you to repent of your sins, to confess your faith in Christ before men tonight, and to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Or for anyone that also might be here who is a Christian, but perhaps you have not been seeking God like you should, and you need to repent and get back to seeking him in the right way so you can also be orderly and steadfast in following him and walking worthy of him and to all pleasing. If you do need to respond to the Lord's invitation tonight, please do come right now while we stand and sing.